Good morning. Father's House, great to be here. I love starting my year at Father's House. God's got something good for us today. God has something good for us. Okay, so turn over in your Bibles, and we're going to get there in a second, to Revelation chapter 4. We're going to flow with the Holy Ghost today. When you see everything that I do, Revelation chapter 4. We are in a season, and I want to start by saying this. Okay, just buckle up. Buckle up. We are coming into another reset time. Okay, I'm just going to speak prophetically into some things. We are coming into another reset time. There is an invitation from the Lord going out to the church right now, and he is inviting us to come up higher. And this morning, I want to release that prophetic invitation to each one of us here, to each one of us, that God is calling us higher. And when we talked this morning about the year of the crown, I believe that is so right on. When I woke up this morning, the first scripture God led me to was Revelation chapter 4. And I want to start here this morning and just begin to preach out of it and see where the Holy Spirit takes us, okay? Is that good? So Lord, we just say, come, Holy Spirit, and have your way through the word. Have your way, God. Let your anointing flow through me unhindered. Father, let mountains move today. Father, let hindrances come off today. Father, let oppositions be cast into the sea today. So there is a highway of holiness prepared for people to fly, to soar, to go higher today. In the name of Jesus, I pray. And we say yes and amen to it. Yes and amen. Every hindrance keeping you what I call earthbound is breaking off. You are coming up higher, and you're going to see like you have never seen before. God is going to give you prophetic eyes, prophetic seeing ability to know things even before they take place. God is going to, I'm telling you what God is doing, he's going to give you such sharp discernment in the spirit that you're going to know, you're going to perceive even before something happens. You're going to know how to build. You're going to know the strategy. You're going to know the correct structure. You're going to know the right timing. And you are going to be in perfect timing and sync with God. You will not get out of alignment with God's timing. You will be in perfect timing with God. Because what the enemy wants to do is try to knock people out of right timing. But God is saying, no. I'm going to give you such discernment and sensitivity to my voice and my heart and my mind, the mind of Christ, in this hour, that your steps are going to be perfectly ordered. You're going to be in perfect harmony and in sync with the Father and with God's heart and will for your life. Okay, and with this, there comes some restructuring, there comes some shifting, there comes some realignments, there comes some changing. Because as God calls you higher, guess what? Not everything from the last season can go up with you. When you go to a new level, there may be certain things in your life over here, but when you go up higher, not everyone and not everything wants to go up higher with you. So you got to surrender and yield everything in your life to God, every aspect of your life, yield it and surrender it to God. Decree God's divine order over it. Let him order your relationships. Let him order your associations. Let him order your decisions. Let him order every facet of how you are building in this hour. Because unless the Lord builds the house, it cannot stand. We are in a season of God building his house, and some of the foundations have been faulty, so God has to go back to the foundation to rebuild ancient foundations so that in this next season the foundation is solid so that the house will stand. And I'm talking about the church. I'm talking about the church at large. God is strengthening foundations again. And in order to go forward, sometimes you have to go back. There's a scripture that says, return to the ancient paths so that you can go forward. And there is something where God is re-strengthening and rebuilding foundations within the body of Christ so that the house will not be shaken. Everything else will shake, but the house will stand. So I prophesy over you today that as everything else shakes around us, you are going to stand. You will not be moved. You will be firm and solid. You and your household, you and your family, you and your children, you and the generations to come will be solid. After this, I looked and behold, Revelation 4, a door standing open in heaven. And we know a lot of prophets. I know a lot of prophets have been prophesying the year of the open door. And when I say open door, what I've been prophesying is God's going to open a door, but it's going to be the right door. Okay, when we talk about open doors in our lives, that is one thing where we're talking about, you know, the correct alignments and the correct decisions and the correct opportunities and all of these things. For the heavenly purpose of God to be fulfilled in our lives. But here we're talking about a heavenly door that invites us higher. And John the Revelator, God said, look, a door standing open in heaven, an open door in heaven, okay, in heavenly places. The first voice which I heard addressing me like the calling of a war trumpet. Okay, he heard the voice of God like a war trumpet. And I think there is something to this right now where there's a strength in the voice of God. He is calling us higher, and it's like a sounding of a war trumpet. There's almost like a seriousness to it. And I saw today in the spirit, even for some of you that are visiting here, that God today is putting fresh armor on you for the season ahead. That he is fully clothing you even with a new renewed armor that you are coming into this year, this next season, full girded and ready. Fully ready even to hear the voice of the Lord that sounds like a war trumpet. And he's calling his troops to be fully clothed, fully girded, fully armored up. Oh, hallelujah. Yep. Like the sound of a war trumpet saying, come up here. I'm going to show you what will take place in the future. See, there is something when you go through that open heavenly door where you begin to get prophetic sight. You get prophetic knowing. You get prophetic revelation. You're just going to start to know things. You're not going to know why you know it, but you're going to know it, and you're going to make decisions not based on man's logic, but you're going to make decisions based on the mind of Christ. You're not going to build just with the logic. You're going to build with the mind of Christ. And even when others who don't want to move, others who don't want to change, resist and press, you're going to have such a knowing on the inside of you that the opinion of man is not going to be the determining factor for what you do. You're going to follow the Holy Spirit, even if you got to drag some people for a while. Then if they pick up their feet and start going, that's great. And if they don't, well, they may just stay where they are. And sometimes when seasons change, if people don't move, they end up staying where they are. Oh, hallelujah. So don't be too afraid to kind of hold some things loosely as God shifts you and moves you. You just got to hold everything loosely and say, okay, God, divine order, divine building. It's going to be divine strategy, and you're going to be the one to build this house, God, because in the next season, unless God has built it, it's not going to stand. I said, if God hasn't built it, it's not going to stand. And if you tried to build something in your own strength, you got to have your own strength to keep it. And if you're trying to keep something in your own strength, you're going to get so worn out by that. But I tell you, if the grace of God is on it, there's an ease. And I believe that in the Spirit, when you come under the power of the Holy Spirit, there's an ease in the anointing. There's an ease in that place. There's just an ease. God's going to bring many of you into a place of ease where it's just going to be, oh, yeah, the anointing is flowing on this. Oh, yeah, it's just God moving in this. Oh, hallelujah. At once I came under the Spirit's power, the Holy Spirit's power. How many want to be under the Holy Spirit's power? Church, we need to be under the Holy Spirit's power. We need to be under his power. And behold, a throne stood in heaven with one seated on the throne. Now, it's very interesting that when God calls John up through this open door, the very first place he brings him is the throne room. He could have brought John to any place in heaven, but he brings him right to the throne room, right to the throne, right to the source, God. And he comes into and he sees the throne in heaven. Then he sees God seated on the throne and he sees the appearance of God. He who sat there appeared like a jasper and the fiery sardius. Okay. And I was studying this. Some biblical scholars say that the jasper was almost like a diamond. It was clear and brilliant. And then the other stone, sardius, was red. So when he sees God, the Spirit, he sees God on the throne. He sees him like colors. He sees God in color form. He sees God in light form. And he sees what looks like a diamond and what looks like a red stone. This is the terminology he uses to describe how he sees God. Isn't that amazing? The image of God is like a diamond, like a ruby red. And I really believe that these images speak of the amazing purity of God and also the redemption of God. The red blood of Jesus that was shed for us, that speaks of God's redemption. And the purity of the diamond, it speaks of his purity and his clarity and his glory. And he sees God like this, and then the rainbow of emerald around the throne, 24 other thrones surrounded the throne, and seated on these thrones, 24 elders arrayed in white clothing, crowns of gold on their heads, ruling and reigning. But there's something we're going to see that happens here. Verse 5, out from the throne came flashes, lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder. And in front of the throne, seven blazing torches burned, which are the seven spirits of God, or the sevenfold Holy Spirit. Lightning comes from the throne. I believe we're in a time that as God... And I want to make a reference here over to, I'm going to hold my page in Revelation 2. And I want to make a reference here because he sees the seven blazing torches, the sevenfold Spirit of God. Now we know Holy Spirit is one Spirit, but here there is seven aspects revealed of the Holy Spirit. And we see it over in Isaiah chapter 11. I'm not going to go off on this too much. I just want to make reference to it because it touches in and ties in with what I'm going to say here. Isaiah 11 verse 2, the Spirit of the Lord will be upon him. First, the Spirit of the Lord, that's one. Then the Spirit of wisdom, understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might. See, this is where I'm talking about building the house of God. He's going to give us the counsel. He's going to give us the wisdom, the understanding, how to move. Not based on man's opinion or human logic or reasoning, but by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of might, his power. We're really going to see the Spirit of might. We're really going to see these sevenfold spirits of the Holy Spirit released even in greater measure. We're going to have the mind of Christ, all the revelatory understanding, but we're going to see his power. We're going to see his might being released. The Spirit of knowledge and the reverential fear of the Lord. The reverential fear of the Lord, which I believe we are really coming into a time of a renewed fear of the Lord. And we'll get to that in a second. So here I want to say one other thing from Revelation 4. It goes through the living creatures. I want to go to verse 10. The 24 elders, they fall prostrate before him who is sitting on the throne. And they worship him who lives forever and ever. And they throw down, they don't just place down, they throw down their crowns before the throne, crying out, "Worthy are you, our Lord, our God, to receive glory and honor and dominion. You created all things, and by your will they were created or brought into existence." They were crowned. But they took their crowns, threw their crowns at the feet of God, and fell prostrate before him. This is talking about humility, complete selflessness. God is calling us to take the crowns that may be on the heads of man and throw them down at God's feet in total selflessness and humility. And I believe there is a call in the church that where we would want to put crowns on men, God is saying, throw the crowns down at my feet. Go lower still. And it's interesting. He's calling us up. But as he calls us up, the revelation we get is to go lower. Come up here. I'm going to show you something. Look at all the elders. They're casting their crowns at my feet and they're throwing themselves down, face down before me. It's the call for greater humility, greater selflessness, greater surrender, and acknowledgement, even from the creatures that are around the throne. They are crying out revelations about God. And it's important we understand this. We know who God is. They're calling out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. Okay? Holy, holy, holy. First, they're given a revelation of God's holiness. Then they're saying, Lord God Almighty. They're talking about his omnipotence, his all-consuming power, who was and is to come, his eternal reality. They're proclaiming these revelations about the God that we serve, that he's holy, he's all-powerful. Don't ever doubt the power of God. Don't ever doubt God's omnipotence for you, for your children, for your family, for your life. We serve an omnipotent God. We serve an all-powerful God. Who was and is to come. He always was, he always will be. He has an eternal existence. This is the God that we serve. This is the revelation from the throne room of the God that we serve. And all the crowns go at his feet. Oh, hallelujah. All the crowns go at his feet. And as the sevenfold Holy Spirit is at work in our lives, as the Holy Spirit is at work, and we are in a time, just all I could say is buckle up. There's another reset coming. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. There's more shakings that are going to happen this year. That's all I could say. There are more shakings that are coming this year. But in us, our foundation is going to be so solid that nothing will be shaken within the house that is built by the hand of God. So what you will see within the structure of the church is anything that's not been built by God, it's going to shake. But then what is being built by God will stand. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, and his house will be full of glory. I said his house will be full of glory, which means your house will be full of glory. Stay sensitive. Keep your ear listening. Keep your ear listening. He's leading you. He's guiding you. And it will make sense. It might not make sense right away, but as you walk with God, what did not make sense suddenly unfolds and you realize, ah, you have those aha moments. Oh, now I understand God. Now I know why you were telling me to do that. Now I know why I was prompted to do that. Now I know why. Now I understand. But sometimes your understanding catches up to your obedience. Sometimes you got to obey even if you don't have all the understanding. But as you obey, eventually you get an aha moment where the light goes on and you get the full understanding of why God was doing what he was doing. And it's a good thing. Everyone say it's a good thing. It's a good thing. So now, Psalm 24 is a scripture that is really in the heart of God. Even about the mountain of the Lord, because it's all about going higher, right? So revelation was a door set in heavenly places. Why? Because God is calling us up. He's calling us higher. He's calling us to see from an elevated position. He's calling us to see from a new plateau, a higher place. And in Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness of it, the world and they who dwell in it, for he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the currents and the rivers. Who shall go up into the mountain of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? See, God, there's something about the mountain of the Lord that God is highlighting. And I'm kind of bringing together some scriptures here, but we're going to go back to Psalm 24. Isaiah 2, verse 2. God spoke this to me recently. Isaiah 2, verse 2. It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house will be firmly established as the highest of the mountains. And you know, we've heard a lot of teachings about the mountains, you know, the different aspects of culture and society. But this scripture says that God's mountain is going to be the highest of all the mountains. God's mountain is the highest. And I know we got different mountains in our world, different mountains of culture and society, but there's a declaration of God's almighty sovereign power here where he is saying, hey, I know there's all these other mountains in the earth, but my mountain, in the end of the day, is going to be the highest mountain. It's going to be established as the highest. It's going to be exalted above the hills, and all nations are going to flow to it. Many people will come and say, come, let's go up. Let's go up. People are going to start saying it. Let's go up. Let's go higher. I don't want to stay down here. I don't want to stay camped out where I've been. I don't want to get lethargic. I don't want to get lukewarm. I don't want to be complacent. Let's go up. I hear the call and it sounds like a war trumpet. Let's go up. Let's go up to the mountain of the Lord. Let's go to the house of Jacob. And what is God going to do there? He's going to teach us his ways that we may walk in his paths. We're going to know the ways of God. We're going to walk in the paths of God. And out of Zion will go forth the law and instruction, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Verse 5, O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Let us walk in the light of God. Yep, let us walk in the light. Let us walk in the light. Let us be in the light as he is in the light. Let us radiate the light of God as he shines in us. Let's shine forth the light of God. Oh, hallelujah. Darkness can't stay where there's light. Did you know that wherever light is present, darkness instantly has to go? Wherever there is light, the darkness has to go. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, yeah. So we're going up. Everyone say we're going up to the mountain of God. He's going to teach us his ways. How many want to know the ways of God? I mean, how many want to really know the ways of God? You want to be so tuned into his mind and his heart that your steps are right in the footsteps of God. Especially for this year. Yep. Who will go up into the mountain of the Lord? Who'll stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Who has not lifted himself up to falsehood nor sworn deceitfully. Okay? So when God calls you higher, I said it before, when God calls you higher, not everything can go with you, even in your own life. When God starts calling you up, there's going to be some things you just got to let go of. Who will stand in the mountain of God? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. And I believe this is the part of the sevenfold spirits of God of the fear of the Lord. Where there is going to be a greater manifestation of the fear of the Lord. And it's going to bring great joy. You know why? Because where the fear of the Lord is, there's confession and repentance. And where there's repentance, there's freedom. And where there's freedom, there's joy. So there's going to be a lot of happy Christians. There's going to be a lot of happy Christians. so joyful that they are so free in God, so ruling and reigning from heavenly places, so one with the Father, standing in His holy place, saturated with the light of God. See, a free church is a happy church. I said a free church is a happy church. A bound church is a miserable church. The freer we get, the happier we get. Clean hands and a pure heart. Look what happens. Verse 5. He'll receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. The more you let God give you a pure heart, the more blessing will flow in your life. Oh, hallelujah. I love the scripture. Surely only goodness, mercy, and love will follow me all the days of my life. Surely only goodness, mercy, and love. When you have let God purify your heart, you are going to be overtaken by the goodness, by the mercy, by the righteousness, by the freedom of God. You'll receive blessing. This is the generation of those who seek Him. This is the generation. And I believe this scripture can really be a banner over this generation. This is the generation of those who seek Him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob. This is the generation who will seek God. This is the generation who will build with God. This is the generation who will have clean hands and a pure heart. This is the generation who will live from a higher place, who will see things to come, who will build the house of God, who will walk in divine partnership with God and be in perfect timing and in perfect sync with the Holy Spirit. This is the generation who will know the seven burning spirits of God. This is the generation who will have counsel, who will have knowledge, who will have understanding, who will have might, who will have the fear of the Lord. This is the generation we will be marked by the sevenfold Spirit of God. We'll have His counsel and His might. We'll have His mind and His power. We will build the house of God, and the house of God will not be shaken. And I feel like I need to trumpet this word today. The house of God, that the true house of God will not be shaken. Other things will shake, but the house of God will remain. And as the house of God is built, because there's a mountain that will be over all the other mountains, as the house of God is built and grows mightier and stronger, and it becomes all-encompassing. Oh, hallelujah. Man's crowns will all end up at the feet of Jesus. Whether you cast your crown down now or then, at some point, every man's crown will land at the feet of Jesus. But I say, let's cast our crowns down before the Lord now. Oh, hallelujah. Because when you cast your crown down before Him, what does He say? He lifts you up. There's a lifting up when we bow down. This is the generation of those who seek Him. There is going to come such a seeking anointing on the church in this hour. Such an anointing to seek after God. There is going to come a drawing of the Holy Spirit on moms in their homes. There's going to come a drawing of the Holy Spirit on fathers. There's going to come an anointing of the Holy Spirit that will turn the heart of people to begin seeking God in a new way. Almost like an awakening. Almost like this war sound, this war trumpet. It's going to awaken. It's part of the spirit of awakening that's going to wake up hearts to God. And as hearts are awakened, they're going to begin to turn and seek. They're going to turn to seek. They're going to seek in their homes. They're going to seek in their churches. They're going to seek in their families. God is going to build strong family altars. The presence of God is going to fill homes. The presence of God is going to fill entire families. There's going to be a seeking after God. Churches are going to start seeking after God in a new way. Oh, hallelujah. This is the generation of those who seek Him. People that are not seeking God right now, they're going to start to seek Him. Even as things shake, it's going to be like an awakening to the heart. And shaking is even going to cause people to seek after God. I'm even talking about unbelievers right now. People that are not seeking after God. God is going to move on their hearts and they're going to start to seek Him. Who seek your face, O God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you age-abiding doors, that the King of glory may come in. Now, I believe we're in a season of the King of glory. We are in a season of the King of glory. Lift up, you doors, you gates, open up. We're talking about, you know, first, it's the open door in heaven and John goes up because God wants to show him something. Now it's us decreeing, open up the door for the King of glory to come in. You see, it was God calling us up, but now we're inviting the King of glory here. Here, we're inviting the King of glory here into this realm of time and space. John was caught up into eternity. He was caught up into a realm outside of time and space. But now this call is let the door open for the King of glory to come from his, who was, is, and is to come from that eternal place into this sphere of time and space. For the manifestation of the King of glory. Oh, hallelujah. See, when the King comes in, everything else bows. When the King comes in, everything else goes low. When the King comes in, sickness bows down. When the King comes in, shackles are broken. When the King comes in, sin has to go. When the King comes in, depression has to go. When the King comes in, hearts surrender. The Lord strong and mighty in battle. The one whose voice sounds like a war trumpet comes in mighty power and mighty in battle. And I want to say this about the battle. There are more for you than against you. When it comes to spiritual warfare and a spiritual battle, whatever warfare you face in your life, I want to remind you today, there are more for you than against you. Sometimes you may feel overwhelmed. Sometimes you may feel like there's a battle, that there's resistance, that there's whatever going on in your life. But the Lord mighty in battle is fighting your battles for you, especially when you are surrendering those battles to God. It releases His mighty hand of power to go to battle for you, to even cause negative things to work for your good. This is why I say you can be a happy Christian, because you know God's already working everything for your good, especially when you love Him, you're called according to His purpose. You are surrendering to Him. You are actively, proactively giving things to Him. He's working everything for your good. Oh, hallelujah. You win. You win. You're on the right mountain. You're on the mountain of the Lord. All the other mountains shake, but you're on the mountain of the Lord. You win. Oh, hallelujah. Yep, the King of glory is coming in. The King of glory is coming. I said the King of glory is coming. He's the Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory, the one who commands angelic armies. He is the King of glory, the one who goes before you. He is the King of glory, the one who clears out your path. He is the King of glory. The one who speaks a word, and all of heaven and earth have to listen. Because where the word of the King is, there's power. Where the word of the King is, there's power, there's authority. And when the King of glory has something to say, all creation listens. See? And what God is going to do is He's going to make your voice like a war trumpet. His voice is like a war trumpet. He's going to make your voice like a war trumpet. Because you're going to speak what He speaks. And when you speak what He speaks, you're going to walk in creative power. Things are going to line up. Mountains are going to move. Obstacles are going to give way. Obstacles are going to give way. Mountains of opposition are going to be cast into the sea. Jesus is going to take center stage. I said Jesus is going to take center stage. All eyes on Jesus. All eyes on the King of Glory. Oh, hallelujah. How many are ready for the King of Glory? I want to share another thought here. This is a good thing. Now I'm going to tie these two things together. I'm already skipping into Psalm 25 because we're in a certain era right now. And I felt this morning when I was in prayer that there's going to be keys in Psalm 25 even for this next era. And in Psalm 25, verse 12, who is the man who reverently fears and worships the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he should choose. He himself shall dwell at ease, and his offspring will inherit the land. Look at that. You walk in the fear of God, your offspring are going to walk in their divine inheritance. You're going to dwell in ease when you walk in the fear of God. It's when you get out of the fear of God and start doing your own thing that suddenly ease becomes unease. Because you get in the flesh, you start to become uneasy. But you walk in the fear of the Lord, you will dwell in ease. Your offspring will inherit the land. Look at this. The secret of the Lord have they who fear Him. He will show them His covenant, reveal to them its deep meaning. The fear, everyone say the fear of the Lord. So now this is the generation of those who seek Him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob. And I want to insert this thought this morning. When I was meditating on this, I've preached on Jacob before. And when I was meditating on this, I said, God, you could have made reference to yourself in any way. You could have said, who seek your face, O God of Moses, who seek your face, God of Abraham, the father of faith, who seek your face. But He said, who seek your face, God of Jacob. He was specific. This is the generation who will seek you, O God of Jacob. Because it's a seeking call. It's a seeking anointing. And we remember Jacob, who sought after God all night long, who wrestled with the angel and would not let God go. And this is the kind of seeking I'm talking about, where we seek after God and we don't let Him go. And we have the tenacity that says, God, I won't let you go until I know your blessing is upon me. God, I'm not letting you go until I know my heart is right with you. God, I'm not letting you go until I know that my sin is cleansed. God, I'm not letting you go until I know that I am standing with clean hands and a pure heart in the mountain of God. But you see, it was Jacob's desperation that caused him to see God like that. Because sometimes when everything's just going easy, we kind of lay back. But here, Jacob, okay, just to paint the picture, Jacob was running from his brother Esau, who wanted to kill him because he took his birthright. And he took his birthright from a place of deception. And Jacob's very name, okay, well, we know what Jacob's name means. Deceiver, supplanter. And here he is, running because he did something, caused himself unease. Now out of his place of unease, he's desperate for God. God, I need your help. And if you don't bless me, I'm in trouble. Have you ever prayed a prayer like that? God help. God intervene. Okay? And I love how God deals with Jacob in this place of prayer. He just comes right up in front of Jacob. I could just see it. The angel of the Lord comes right up in front of Jacob. Now, how many know God is, he knows, he's all knowing. He knows everything. He even knows the hairs on your head. He knows the thoughts in your mind, the intents of your heart. He knows everything. And he comes up in front of Jacob and says, hey, what's your name? And I don't think God forgot his name. I think God knew his name very well. God was not forgetful. But he was inquiring for a purpose. Jacob, what's your name? Jacob. You got to say it out loud. Jacob. Supplanter, deceiver, trickster. The one who got myself in trouble because I took the birthright using some deception. And now I'm in trouble. And the moment Jacob out loud said his name was the moment. I mean, this shows the heart of God for each one of us. The moment Jacob confessed his name was the moment he experienced a name change. It was the moment then God turned right around and said, okay, you're no longer Jacob. Now you're Israel, prince and contender with God. God didn't beat him up over the head. God didn't condemn him. God didn't beat him up. God said, okay, now that you've said it, now I can deal with it, and now I can change it. You know the people that you meet 50 years later and they're exactly the same? You know the people, it's like 20 years later, you can run into them and they are exactly the same person they were 20 years ago. They have not changed. You know why they haven't changed? Because they refuse to take accountability for themselves. They refuse to even take a look at themselves for one hot second. No, this is going to help someone today. This is not me. This is you. This is your fault. This is your doing. And people that always reflect or deflect to everyone else around them and never take a hot second to look at themselves, they will go from conflict to conflict, battle to battle, trial to trial, and never change. Because it's always everyone else and not themselves. But the moment you are willing to have enough humility to acknowledge where you have fallen short is the moment the grace of God shows up on the inside of you to change you from Jacob to Israel, from deceiver to prince, to the one who was running in desperation, to the one who was ruling and reigning. And this is what God does. He takes even the messes that we find ourselves in, and if we are humble enough to give them to God, he is powerful enough to change us where we need to change, so we stop doing the same thing over and over and over again. But we learn and we evolve and we grow and we transform. And this is the life of the believer, to transform from glory to glory, to change, to be evolving in our spirit, man, to look more like him. But until we confess, until we acknowledge, we can't change. We can't break through. We got people coming to the altar for breakthrough, then they go out and they don't really take responsibility for themselves. But here's the beautiful thing. The moment you do is when God's supernatural power comes into your natural. See, that's what supernatural is. It's God adding his super to your natural. Because in the natural, you can't change yourself. It's really hard to change yourself. But when you really come before God in the fear of the Lord and some humility, come on, just a little bit of humility. Just a little, just a drop of humility. It's amazing what can happen. When you say, God, I can't, you can do it. And he does it. But you see, this is part of the transformation God is doing within the body of Christ, within the church. He's bringing Jacob to the forefront. So Jacob can go to the cross and Israel can be born. He's calling Jacob. This is the generation of those who seek him. Oh God of Jacob. He's calling Jacob to the cross in this hour so that Jacob can become Israel, who is prince, who rules and reigns in power and authority. God wants you to rule. He wants you to be over. He wants you to be higher. He wants you to know his authority and power. But every area of Jacob in your heart has got to come to the cross so that your princely anointing under the headship of the King of glory can come into manifestation. So I just say, let him do it. Let him do it. If he's dealing, let him do it. If he's convicting, let him do it. Just let him do it, and he will. God of Jacob. This is the generation who will be known as Israel, who will be known as Prince with God, who will be known as contenders. When they could have given up, they didn't. When everything was shaking, they stood. Their foundation was strong. They stood in the fear of the Lord. They ascended the mountain of God. They began to operate in counsel and might and power. They had so much conviction in them. So much conviction inside that when they walked into a room, the spirit of conviction came with them. Oh yeah. Now look. In order to operate in a true spirit of conviction, you have to bring every religious spirit of condemnation to the cross. Okay? Because the religious spirit brings condemnation. The Holy Spirit brings conviction. And conviction leads to life. But we will walk. I'm telling you, church, get ready. We're going to walk in so much true Holy Spirit conviction that when we walk into a room, the true fear of the Lord that manifests the goodness of God is going to follow us. It's not just your shadow that's going to heal the sick. Your shadow's going to bring conviction. But as God brings conviction in you, he can then bring conviction through you. Because if it ain't in you, it ain't through you. Come on now. If it ain't in you, it ain't through you. Because remember, whatever is in you, is on you, is the residue you leave. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, my goodness. I know no one in here is cultivating frustration in your heart. I know you are not letting frustration or anger or any stuff like that cultivate on the inside of you, because then what starts to happen is wherever you go, whatever you touch gets the residue of frustration on it. You leave one church frustrated, go to another church, and everything you touch in that new church gets frustrated. Oh, praise the Lord. The grass looks greener on the other side until you get there and touch it. Oh, I think I would rather have this in my life. I'm going to go over there. And before you get there, something in your spirit already touched it. And hopefully, it's the anointing. Right? So whatever you cultivate in you is the inner atmosphere that starts to flow around you. Let's remember that as we go into this year. What do you see happening around you? Is it warfare or is it an overflow from yourself? So, then just come before God. God, take the agitation out. Take whatever out. Take whatever out God has to go. Take it out. I see a new flame, a new fire coming into the heart of the church that's going to burn with such purity and such the fear of the Lord that the church is going to be a force to be reckoned with.
I need to share something here. Matt came here, well, he comes every year, but this message, he ministered a message on this Jacob transformation. I'm thinking it's around 2017. God, about around 2021 or 22, he opened a revelation, face of God, and then he took us into the Jacob thing. This whole face of the God of Jacob, this transformation, he's tying it into Psalms 24, and I was in my truck, and there was a CD in there, and Anna had been in my truck, and she was playing the CD, and the Lord said, put that CD in. And so I pressed it, and Matt was teaching the message. He had taken that message that he preached here, and he put it in a series, but it was playing that whole message. He was confirming that whole thing. And it was so powerful at the time because God was telling us a generation. The Psalms 24 generation would usher in the King of Glory. And it was so moving that we actually created a constitution around it. And we built every scripture God had ever spoken to us around this whole Psalms 24 King of Glory. And Matt didn't know this. So this morning, this was around 2021, 22, but it was confirmed. I had forgotten he taught that message here. Just forgot all about it. And all of a sudden I'm listening to him. I'm like, oh my God, he taught this here. And now fast forward 7 years later, 2024, Matt doesn't know this, but we pray in this morning and the Spirit of the Lord said, I will confirm. Actually, it was actually before prayer. It was about 5 a.m. I couldn't sleep. And the Lord said, I will confirm my word today. And I said, which one? And I didn't say anything to Matt. I didn't even want to say that. But I want you to see something that we preached last Sunday morning. 2024. See that? This was last Sunday. We preached this, getting ready for this year. Year of Psalms 24. Now, Matt comes in here today. I didn't say anything. And he preaches the exact same message that we were preaching last Sunday morning. And what the Lord is saying, Matt is a prophet before me, and my word will be confirmed this morning. And I didn't know which one he was talking about. And then he preaches Psalms 24, the same word I preached last week, the year 2024, Psalm 24, doubly confirmed now. Didn't say a word to him. He didn't even know. So God is confirming that the revelations that are in that chapter, and they are massive, a whole generation will go before the face of the God of Jacob and receive that same level of transformation. To usher in the King of Glory, I believe all of that will begin this year. So we're saying this is our year. The King of Glory will bring everything back in. In this hour of the church. God has confirmed this. And only God could set it up like that. Let's give God glory for that. Hallelujah.